Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Right now, let's talk about the Consumer Electronics Show with technology journalist and a guy who was writing for the Sun-Times around here for a couple of decades, and also Macworld, Andy Anatko. Andy, good morning. From what I saw, it was all about robots and driverless cars and artificial intelligence. What's the headline for you?
Lots of not sleep is usually the headline for me in Consumer Electronics Show week. It's a big show. It's for all consumer electronics of every category, so you kind of got to pick and choose. I thought that there was a lot of cool autonomous vehicle announcements, but not the sort of stuff that you'd sort of hope for, not the sort of stuff where a company is going to announce that, hey, we're going to get our first self-driving level 5 car out this year. But it's more encouraging to hear about companies like Nvidia, companies like Qualcomm, the companies that are making the chips, the intelligence that will power future self-driving cars. That technology is advancing very, very well. We still don't know exactly when we're going to get true autonomous cars. So right now, it's more interesting to think about the technology that's going to go underneath it. And that kind of carries through a lot of stuff in the Consumer Electronics Show. Oftentimes, the big news isn't so much, here's the new TV set that you might be able to buy in October or November, although, of course, there's always news like that. But oftentimes, it's like, how far are things like augmented reality glasses coming along? And it's not, again, the announcement itself. It's, here's a company that actually has the component that Apple needs in order to do really good augmented reality.
As far as TVs go, you hear a lot about what is it? QD OLED. What is that?
Yeah, that's a new technology that Samsung has come up with. Then because Samsung is one of the bigger manufacturers of actual panels that Sony and other companies make. That's something you're going to see later on in this year in the higher end TVs. The problem with OLED TVs is that they're still not good enough. They still have problems with like really, really super bright TVs. They still have problems with viewing angles. They still have problems where unless certain technologies are incorporated to mitigate screen burn-in, they still tend to like burn out in 3 or 4 years. They're still much better than LED TVs that don't have a lot of these problems, but there's still a lot of room for advancement. So what Samsung has done is that they've come up with a new display technology that essentially, everything that you would want a TV to be better at, it's better at this. So, like, when you have a scene where, like in The Godfather, where there are two organized crime figures having a conversation inside a dark bar and there's a window to the street, a good TV should be able to do what an actual film does, where you should be able to actually see stuff through that window. Current technology will tend to be burned out, or you wouldn't see all that light there, or you wouldn't see all the colors and the shadows inside. QD OLED is supposed to fix a lot of those problems. It's not going to be cheap, unfortunately. We're still talking about mid-range to higher-end TVs, but for those people who really, really love to see exactly what they want to get out of movies, out of gaming when you're using a computer monitor, a lot of people will be. There are people who will spend an extra $800 to $1,000 to see out that window, you know?
Mm-hmm. Now, it used to be that the advice was don't run out and spend a whole lot of money on some of these video upgrades because what is being broadcast really is not up to that quality. But now with streaming, it's a little different, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Broadcast television, they can't give you stuff like HDR technology. A lot of it doesn't give you Dolby Atmos. There's a lot of these technologies that require the TV set to process a really complicated signal and unpack a lot in order to make this happen. But yeah, once you're streaming through like Apple TV Plus, Netflix, they're actually trying to make it a value add-on so that once you start streaming something on a higher-end TV set, you start to notice that there's a lot more to even one of your favorite old movies than there was before. So I still don't think that it's good enough for people to trash a TV that they like already. But at some point, your kid is probably going to, you know, play hockey inside the living room and crush your beautiful 54-inch TV you bought 8 years ago. But when you buy a new one next year or the year after that, you're going to find that, oh my God, not only is the screen better, but the stuff that I'm streaming from these services or buying as digital movies online is so, so much better, not because of the screen necessarily, but because of the much, much better digital data that's being sent to that screen.
What about folding screens with laptops? Is that actually happening now?
It is. I'm really excited about folding screens always. I think that when you have a phone that can turn into a tablet, or a phone that can fold into a smaller phone, or a tablet that can fold out and turn into a laptop, I really think this is something that we've been sort of waiting for, because things are always too big, and sometimes the thing that's convenient enough to stick in your pocket isn't convenient enough to read a book on or to watch a movie on. And so, Samsung, a display manufacturer, has been putting out these new 17-inch folding panels that are, they have HDR, they're really, really high quality panels, and now Samsung and another company are going to be coming out with a 17-inch laptop. Asus is coming out with this laptop called the ZenBook 17. So imagine having a 17-inch screen, kind of like an iMac, that's sort of on an easel on your desk. You got your mouse, you got your keyboard. When it's time to go to work, you literally fold it in half, stick it in your laptop bag, go out, get your train. When you're on your train, you can unfold it a little bit and turn it into a laptop where you're typing on like the part that's flat on the table. You're looking at the screen just as normal. When you get to work, it's suddenly or you're actually holding it like a book vertically. When you get to work, you can unfold it again to a 17-inch screen, use it as an external display for your super powerful work computer. That's the sort of stuff that really gets me keen, because it's a lot of technology. It's limited and defined by what shape it's in and how. And if you can't change that shape, it will never be anything else than this one thing. So when you have this ZenBook 17, which, unlike a lot of stuff that gets mentioned at CES, it's an actual product. They're actually shipping it. As usual, they don't say exactly when or how much it's going to cost, but they're saying sometime in the middle of this year. It doesn't have to be this one thing. It can be a tablet. It can be a book. It can be a screen. It can be a desktop. It can be a laptop. That tends to really get me excited about technology moving forward.
Now, Google, Apple, Microsoft, we don't really hear a lot about those companies at the CES, do we?
Not really. At best, we hear about like partnerships, like Qualcomm, NVIDIA, Intel. They like to say, oh, we're working with Microsoft on this. Qualcomm is saying, oh, we've got this new partnership for Microsoft's next generation of augmented reality glasses. But the companies themselves, they tend to want to make their announcements, have their own day. Apple will announce an iPhone on a special day, like at their own time when it's ready to ship, so that they can get everybody's press attention at the same time. But yeah, normally you hear most of them as sometimes a vice president from Microsoft will join the stage for an NVIDIA announcement to say, oh yes, we're very proud that that Qualcomm is supporting us in our new initiative to do such and such and so and so. So like a lot of CES is inside baseball, and God, I love it so.
And for the most part, though, you're not hearing a lot of definitive information about products, the date it will be available, the price. It's not about that mostly, is it?
Yeah, see, this is business. Remember that consumers can't actually attend the Consumer Electronics Show. This is truly for industry. This is truly for members of the press. This is truly for analysts. So it's basically so that a company like Intel can talk about their roadmap for 2022. Again, the components that they want to ship. Sometimes it's like a company like Cadillac. They certainly didn't announce the self-driving car, but they can put onto the show floor, if we were to build a Cadillac that's for self-driving technology, here's what it would look like. Sometimes the funnest part is stuff that we all know. You have BMW, you have no intention whatsoever of shipping this car where instead of being covered with paint, it's covered with LCD dots, just like a Kindle, so that if you want to change it from black to gray to white and have like different pinstripes on it, you can do that as a touch of a button. But okay, it's nice that you put that out there, and now we're mentioning BMW.
Yeah.
so a lot of times it's fun to see them being speculative about, here is what we could make if the market ever were able to support it. So sometimes you got to peacock a little bit, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my takeaway is now, instead of having to buy phones, the company's forcing us to buy phones every year, we're going to have to buy televisions every year. Technology journalist Andy Anatko. Thanks, Andy. Appreciate the insight into the Consumer Electronics Show.
Thanks, Bob.